Hello, and welcome to Rescuing Churches with Stan and Josh Gibbons. This is the official podcast of 614 Ministries, where we exist to renew vision and restore hope at struggling churches across the country. With over 80% of churches in decline and 1,500 pastors a month battling depression, we strive to equip members and encourage ministers to pursue new directions of stability and growth.
Welcome you to Rescuing Churches, the official podcast of 614 Ministries with Josh and Stan, and glad to have you listening in with us. Josh recently wrote a blog about storytelling. We're going to talk a little bit about that, and I learned a lot about storytelling years ago by a man named Colin Pierce. You can look him up online, Google him, and see his Venmo page and his Facebook page, and he's a great storyteller. He's Australian, so he has the perfect accent for it. But I watched him at a conference I attended own audiences time and time again, so much so that I memorized one of his stories. Josh has heard me tell this numerous times here at the church. Every few Christmases, I have the children come down front during our main Christmas service, and I have a little lamb, little stuffed lamb in my arms, and I tell the story of Nana the singing goat.
Yeah, I know where this is going.
Yeah, and Nana the singing goat is a children's story that Colin wrote literally on Christmas Eve one night in about 15 minutes. He wrote the whole thing, but it takes tremendous ownership of your heart when he tells the story. You get very attached to this little lamb. This little lamb's ultimately going to be butchered, but ends up in the barn with Mary and Joseph, where Jesus is born. And it's a dramatic evening where people come with knives in their belt and blood on their hands to butcher him. And Joseph buys Nana from the butcher or from the owner so the butcher can't have him. And then later he's able to say in the story that people come for Jesus. One day people will come for Jesus with knives in their belt and blood on their hands to take his life, and he's going to lay down his life. And every year I tell that story, it's fascinating because it's such a well-written story. I can't take credit for it because it's Colin's story.
Right.
But every year I tell that story to the children who are seated in front of me. I'm usually sitting down on the floor with them or down on a low stool, and they're seated on the floor. Their eyes are mesmerized by the story. But when I look up, the adults are on the edge of their seat
every time.
It's such a good story. And there's a power to storytelling.
Huge power.
That's very valuable. And we probably need to access it a lot more. Ministers especially need to take advantage of that. And people in ministry need to use the storyline of your own life and the storyline of you and Jesus to help people. We need to be better at telling our story and explaining what God's doing in our life and reveal some deeper things. I think if we would take some time to do that, it'd be better. So kind of the point of your storytelling blog, and I'm gonna let you get into that and tell us how you came across some of these thoughts and the movie that impacted you with all that. So tell us what that's about.
Yeah, my head kind of rattled about this a couple of days ago when we were watching Tom Hanks in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and it was the first time I had seen the film.
Yeah, the Mr. Rogers story.
And it was just so well done. The screenwriting was phenomenal, and Hank's acting was just phenomenal in the film. And the movie is all about the real, if you haven't seen it, it's about the real life encounter between Fred Rogers and journalist Lloyd Vogel. And Vogel is assigned, he's a writer for Esquire, and he's assigned to write a piece, a profile on Fred Rogers. And
you connect with that journalism side anyway,
yes,
because
as a writer,
you know what those assignments are like.
Exactly. Yeah. And thankfully I didn't connect with Vogel because he's not the best guy in the world.
Right.
He's not the kind of journalist you want to aspire to be because he's known for writing trash pieces on people and
negative
and, yeah, just
slander.
Yeah, pieces that just get all kinds of negative feedback. So But he gets assigned this piece and really ends up connecting with Fred Rogers. You know, like who wouldn't connect with Fred Rogers, right? And the whole point.
Well, he's hoping Fred's a, you know, fake. It's all.
An oh yeah, act. Yeah. That's
pretty sure. He's pretty sure it's an act.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the film. And he ends up connecting with Fred Rogers, and there's just this really, really the screenwriters really pulled the sentimental value out of that connection and out of that friendship. And there's all of this emotional weight that comes with that. Mm-hmm. And you start mm-hmm. to connect with the characters in a way that really, really exceeds other films that I've seen and that are done in this way. And anyway, all of that to say that the art of storytelling is extremely powerful. It's been around for centuries. And I mean, even as Dad illustrated with his opening one there, you know, Jesus himself was a master storyteller.
Exactly.
And Jesus used to do it all the time. He did it in the form of what we call parables. And, you know, over the last several decades, Hollywood's kind of taken it and done it digitally and cinematically.
Right,
and
right.
That's the way we kind of think of stories now.
And that can be intimidating for us as pastors. You know, I can't compete with Tom Hanks in Hollywood and
or the Avengers or
Mr. Rogers. Yeah. Or the Avengers like storyline. Yeah. I can't compete with any of that. However, the church does need storytelling to be a significant part of its life. And it exposes good storytelling, exposes a vulnerability, a humility. It exposes the heart and soul of a man or a woman, that's doing the storytelling accurately. So,
and a perfect example of that would be at the church that you pastor here in Mobile at Northside this morning. You stopped the service in the middle of our song, Blessed Assurance,
right.
to have people do what? Tell their stories.
Exactly.
And these were not professional storytellers.
No.
So I will draw a differentiation between kind of what I'm talking about here, but that doesn't matter. If you have a story to tell, it still impacts people in a unique and profound way, especially if it's your personal story. If it's a personal story about something that happened in and through your church or in and through your relationship with Christ, how you met Christ, anything like that, it's a human to human connection. And when people that are in and around you and in your vicinity are able to see and hear that story, it makes a tremendous impact. And just the little tiny ones that we had in the service today left a huge impact on people.
Right. And it's every Christ follower has that story that we talked about today. We call it our elevator testimony. It's referenced on a half a dozen of our podcasts. But it's that testimony that the Apostle Paul gives to Timothy. He says, look, once I was a blasphemer, a violent aggressor, I was persecutor of the church. Then I found the grace of Christ. He met me, Paul on the Damascus Road, dealt with me, and I understood grace and who Jesus really is. Now I am a preacher ministering the gospel to everybody I can and planting churches everywhere. So once I was, then I met Jesus, and now here's who I am. And every Christ follower, every true Christian has that story to tell. And those are beautiful stories. They don't ever need to stop being told, and we need to get better at telling them. We need to improve the art of storytelling when we do that. And sometimes there's ways to do that in a service like we do. Blessed Assurance is one of the easiest ones because the chorus says, this is my story, this is my song, right?
It just makes sense.
Yeah, so you can just go, let's hold up and see what is your story and have folks tell their testimony. And it was beautiful. It happens regularly at our church, so we love that. So there's a way to do that that doesn't have to have the professional touch. But then as followers of Christ, and especially as those of us who are leading churches and ministering in a church, we can develop even more refined ways to do storytelling. Kind of like Pat, you know, Colin Pierce encourages you to get really good at telling the very story itself. And you recommend a couple of ways to increase connectivity and engagement with your congregation. And you give some ideas to do that on your blog here, jdgivens.com blog. So why don't you tell them a couple of those ideas and let's talk through those.
Yeah. If you're a church communications professional in your church, it's really a big part
amateur.
It's really a big part of your job to engage in the art of storytelling and to reach your church body and the community around your church body with those stories in a unique and special way. And the kind of stories that were shared today as testimonies, you know, in our service here at the church that we serve at are the kind of examples that we're talking about, but you can do the exact same thing through other means as well. And I'll talk about some of those, but let me preface it all with the fact that, and I think this is something that a lot of church communicators, it's easy to forget about this when you get caught up in the design aspect or the professionalism of how something should look or mm-hmm. the wording of something. You can forget that the subject and the focus of every single story has to be Jesus.
Right.
If it's not Jesus, then what's the point?
Exactly.
It's not the story is really not the person you're interviewing. The story is not about the person that is in the picture. It's about that person's interaction with Jesus and how Jesus affected that person and how is the audience going to see Jesus in and through that
Correct.
Person and their encounter with Christ.
Correct.
And if Jesus isn't at the forefront of all of that, then you've lost the point altogether. I really can't overemphasize that.
I love that. And we are to, our lives as followers of Christ are to exalt Christ
right.
at every opportunity. So even in a story we're telling about us, it's more about him.
So even if you're a small church, it doesn't matter how advanced your technology is, he has to be in the spotlight. And if it's not, you know, then you just need to pull back a little bit and reassess that. One of the best ways you can communicate with your people through storytelling is through your digital and social media platforms. And the majority of your attendees and your visitors are going to be on their smartphones. So they're going to have
Right.
their Facebook, they're going to have their Instagram, which means that you can place stories in their hands faster than we ever used to be able to do.
Exactly.
And that's where you're really going to increase that connectivity and that engagement that you were referencing a second ago.
Right. And you suggest one of the ways to do that is post photos and videos that tell meaningful stories. What are you thinking in that, just as a social media guy?
Yeah, this is where one of the things that we've done here at Northside, at the church where we serve, one of the things that I did that went over really big and that I plan to do again in the future is take a little while, and this was just the journalist in me because I kind of like to interview people. And if you don't like to interview people and get a whole lot of words and proof a lot of copy and edit a lot of copy, this might not be for you. If you have the means to film it, that may be easier for you.
Right.
But if you can interview somebody in your church that has a unique story to tell about how they came to Christ or even how they came to your church, and take a really great photo of them, edit it real nice, get it looking really good, post that to your social media with their story, mm-hmm. it will get more traffic than you could possibly imagine on your page because it's a personal human connection.
Yeah.
It's person to person. It's not just a stale graphic. Not that graphics are bad.
Right.
I love
right.
graphics. I love doing graphic design.
Right.
You know, you can have some great fancy graphic media out there.
But it's a real person.
Right. This is
a real thing happened.
This is a human
They're
being.
Talking about a real thing.
This is an actual human being.
Not virtual.
And when it comes to that, you're putting another human being in front of a human audience. And if you really want your church's story to actually resonate with that audience, then you start to utilize photos and videos.
Oh, that's excellent.
And put people in those photos and videos.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's real. So it interests me. I could care less on all these crazy reality shows that have come out over the last few years. You learn they're not reality at all.
You right.
know, there's an entire crew running around with them. There's medics around. If somebody gets injured,
it's all fake.
There's all this gaming stuff we're playing in the middle of it all that we can fix the rig, the whole thing up differently. So it's not reality
yep.
TV. You know, reality TV is like show up at my house with a TV and we'll go from there. You know, that's going to be scary TV.
Yeah, that's going to be terrifying.
Terrifying TV or boring.
I'm leaving the house that day if that happens.
Or boring TV, one or the other. So, but you can also use your website as a storytelling platform. So tell me what you're thinking of there and how that works.
Yeah, if you're the manager of your church's website, if you're the one who's kind of overseeing that, you can create a really, really good sense of belonging, connection, engagement through the ministries page, especially on your church website. You want to be able to leave visitors with the impression that your church is all about personal connection. Mm-hmm. So when they hop on the ministries page, what kind of visual imagery are they seeing that makes that human connection that we referenced a second ago?
Right.
So even if you're not using real photography from your church, some churches do, some churches don't. You know, if they have a great photography staff, that's great. Even if you're just using stock photography and you're putting your kids ministry logo next to that stock photo, mm-hmm. that's fine. As long as it's going to be something that actually really connects with your audience and they get the human to human impression and connection there.
Right, right.
It's not just some graphic. The staff page is another fantastic place to actually tell some stories. You can do that through the bios of each staff member. The bio itself, really, if you think about it, is a story. You know, right. you think about, you know, your bio on our mm-hmm. church mm-hmm. webpage, your bio on our 614 Ministries webpage. It lets people know a little bit about you and who you are.
Right.
You know, where you came from, what you do, you know, what Bible college you attended, you know, the fact that you're married and have three kids. Mm-hmm. It's the story behind the person.
Right. Right.
And it allows them to make that human connection.
Yeah, so there's many opportunities to do that on your website. And then, you know, I would say as a pastor, the art of storytelling in your regular teaching and your small group classes, all of that's really important. And it's not just illustrations. I mean, I can tell, you know, the story of, you know, Thomas Edison and his many tries at the light bulb.
Right.
You know, anybody can read that, you know, off of a good website. And there's lots of stories I could tell. And I've used some, you know, there's historical stuff that makes a good storyline that illustrates. But what really helps a lot of times, as I did this morning, is to tell a personal story.
Right.
We were talking about fathers and sons today. So I told stories about my dad. And my growing up years of my dad and how we were related to each other in complicated areas and complicated circumstances and what all that looked like. And it resonated very strongly with the Ben High disciple. When we went to lunch together as a discipleship group, the conversation around the table.
Right. Everybody was talking about it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Your story about your dad reminds me of my story about my dad.
Exactly.
And how we have to interact with all that. And, yep. and it really brought up the opportunity to minister even further. Because the storyline itself was very specific.
Exactly.
And had some very specifics.
Yeah. And I'll just throw out a couple of other, and I didn't mention these in the original post. This is something that I may mention in a follow up just because they're still options. They're things that I could expound on a little bit further. I will say that for a lot of, and we actually do, this is one form of storytelling that we do ourselves here at 614 Ministries. And a lot of people don't think about this as a form of digital storytelling, but it is. If you have an email newsletter, an email newsletter Excellent. As a church, and a lot of churches do, that's because they've actually replaced their bulletins now with
right.
email newsletters. Mm-hmm. You can tell stories through your email newsletter. Our 614 Ministries email newsletter, little shameless plug there. If you haven't signed up for it, hop on the website and sign up for it.
We'd love to send it to you once a month.
It goes out once a month. And not only does it have our upcoming events and things like that in it, it also has reports on things that we've done, pictures of us with people that we've been able to minister with. All of those tiny little things and those tiny little write-ups are miniature little stories.
Right.
And they're little bits of text wrapped around pictures mm-hmm. that tell stories about what we are doing.
And here's the story of this church we're going to go see. Here's the story of this minister we're praying for.
Right. And his story. And it connects you with those people in those places. And now the people who follow 614 and are a part of us, the people who are invested in us financially and praying for us and all of that, they feel like they're a part of the bigger story of 614 now, because those little stories have been brought to them on a personal mm-hmm. level, right on their device, to say, hey, you know, I'm a part of what 614 is doing because right. I'm holding those stories in my hand and I'm able to read those regularly mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And there's, I mean, I could sit here and quote you all the crazy statistics on how much email marketing has gone through the roof in recent years about how much email marketing is actually shared. When somebody gets an email that's in the form of a newsletter and they really like that, what they've read and seen, they'll forward it to somebody else that they really like and say, hey, you know, I follow this organization or this church, check it out, mm-hmm. you know? So it's another good place to share.
So that's a good way for me to say to all of you who get our 614 email, share it, send it out to some friends.
Right.
So they can get our email as well. We'd love for you to be sharing our emails.
And then of course, if your church also has an app, you can tell stories on your app as well. The church where we serve has an app. You can always post pictures there. You can put testimonials there. You can highlight important information or stories behind a certain member that has had something going on. If you've had a member who's been in the hospital and a prayer request was answered or a surgery went well, or they came out of it, post that to your app and your website, make sure it crosses both platforms. And that story has now shown up in both places. Right. And the people that are checking the app are able to see that positive story.
Yeah. And just remember that storytelling is really healthy for us to grow together in connecting with one another and to grow spiritually. We can grow stronger once we start storytelling, even in our efforts to bless these other churches and help these young pastors and older pastors. Part of the deal we do when we sit down with them is storytell. They want to hear about our church,
exactly
what we're going through. They want to know some of my war stories and some of my fun stories, and I want to know theirs.
Right.
And so that storytelling moment is huge bonding for us. And so we'll get you some good stories. By the way, we're working on another episode of funny stories.
Oh yeah, that's coming.
We'll get you a good set of stories to hear of fellow pastors that have been through some crazy stuff.
Yeah, so. And I'll just say real quick that as a church communications professional at your church, this doesn't require a lot of strategic planning. You don't have to plan for months and months. You don't have to belabor this. You don't have to, you know, have 12 different subcommittee meetings on right. how you're actually going to tell digital right. stories at your church.
Yeah.
This is actually very, very, very simple
Meet
and
somebody
easy.
Think through
it. It's literally as simple and easy as whipping out your nice smartphone in a service, taking a picture of somebody that's been willing to do it and get their story. Get them to write it up and email it to you and then post it to your Facebook page.
Right.
It's that
it's
beautiful.
Easy. Yeah. Great. That's good. Well, thanks for listening today. We want 614 to be a blessing to you and your church. We want you to hear more podcasts and share them. And we really want to be a blessing to your church and help strengthen them. Our title is Rescuing Churches, and we mean to do just that. If you have a need, you contact us and reach out to us. Our phone number is 601-909-0614. I had to say that slow, so I thought through it carefully. That's our phone number. You can reach out to us that. You can reach out to us through email. All our stuff's on our website, 614ministries.org. And we would love to connect with you this week. Give us some feedback. And definitely, if you're watching us, hit some stars on your deal, 4 or 5 stars. And let us know how the podcast is going for you. Thanks much.